Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy, Will T, and also we're part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. What's going on, folks? I got a little distracted. What's good?
I thought you was going to introduce a fourth person.
I know, I got distracted. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what I was thinking.
I thought you were referring to yourself.
I was about to. Did I don't know what the hell I was doing.
I know, I was about to dance.
Am I the Rock? Like, is that what we doing?
I mean, no, I just thought y'all added somebody else and didn't tell me.
Oh my God, here comes this dude. Here you go, bro.
I go along with it.
Here you go, bro. We're not doing that. You know what I'm saying? We're not doing that. But how's everybody doing, man? On this lovely Tuesday evening.
Yeah, man. I'm not gonna say I'm excited, but I want to hear. I'm excited to talk with you all first of all.
Uh-huh.
Then I want to hear the State of the Union. Always look forward to listening to that.
That's right. It's going on. You know what? I suck in life. I'm not current anymore, dude. Thank you. Just reminding me. I feel like a bad person. I'm not current anymore.
Well, if you let me help you out, yeah. There's an invasion going on in
Ukraine. Oh, I know that. I know that.
Okay.
Right. So that's what the State of the Union is about?
Okay. No, it's about other stuff.
Okay.
Related to.
Well, let's talk less, about bro. It.
Play.
Say less.
Dude, I've been like, dog.
About so right now.
Dude, I was in PA, so I wasn't even thinking. I wasn't even, dude, I've been out, man. I've been, like, out of it. So, don't judge me, Ray. I've been out of it. I suck in life right now.
He said, so that's what it's going to be about. Man, okay. I feel like you should, if you know the history of the State of the Union addresses, it's not about one thing.
I know it is, but I didn't know. Sometimes it's like this main topic, like literally, like the main issues. Like, is that the main topic of discussion? That's all. Like, something always sparks it.
No, they're going to talk about inflation also.
Okay.
He's also going to talk about.
I don't want to talk about that.
Getting his agenda moving forward. So, I'm just always interested to hear, you know, the kind of the state of America from the most powerful person in America.
My man Ray said, "Say less." All right, Ray, I will say less. You know what I mean? Thank you, sir. Hey, Empire Media.
Well, he said I was in PA.
I was. Go ahead, dude.
What's that guy doing? Anyway, I understand.
Like there's no cable TV.
I know, right?
No radio.
Hey. Man, I was getting fried, bro. I was getting fried. Dude, I was getting fried, man. Like, I don't even know. I was getting. All right, it is what it is. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app and hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. I don't know how new it is anymore, but it is what it is. Go ahead.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
All right, is it my turn? Because I'm in PA, so I don't know.
Hey, shoot, dude.
Also, join Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Team, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debate.
Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll debate whether the Washington Commanders should draft a quarterback with the 11th pick overall or trade it for a veteran quarterback at 820. Nuts and Bolts Sports, Patrick Waring will join us to talk about Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball coach Patrick Ewing possibly being on the hot seat. at 8:35. We'll talk about junior welterweight Gary Antoine Russell Jr. stopping Victor Postol in Saturday night's fight. And finally, we'll talk about Art Briles telling Grambling State that he will not join their staff. But first, the Washington Commanders have the 11th pick overall in the NFL draft. There will be quarterbacks available at 11. Washington also has been rumored to go after a bunch of veteran quarterbacks. Should they trade the pick for a veteran QB or draft a QB with the 11th pick?
It's difficult to say because I'm not going to sit up here and say I know which veteran quarterbacks are available, right? There's rumors that from guys such as Aaron Rodgers could be available, possibly Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, the name goes on, that's just via trades. Then through free agency, Jameis Winston coming off of an injury, he looked mighty good those first seven games in New Orleans. So there's some veteran opportunities. There's some opportunities to get some veterans out there. But when it comes to this quarterback class, I just don't. There's one guy that I think has a huge upside, and that's Malik.
Willis. Malik Willis.
Yeah, Malik Willis, out of Liberty. Uh-huh. I think that kid has that. I'm not gonna call him a kid. The young man has a tremendous upside, but you have to ask yourself this question. Do you think that this organization has the infrastructure in place to A, be patient with his development, and A, and B, develop a future starter, a guy who has the potential and you want to see make it to multiple Pro Bowls and be a starter for 10 plus years and take it to the Super Bowl? And I just don't think that's necessarily the case with this front office and this coaching staff, just to be honest with you. So I will go with option A, which is find a veteran quarterback, and that veteran quarterback, if I was Washington, I would try to get is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow. Okay.
This is why Jimmy Garoppolo has Jimmy Garoppolo has shown you that he can take a team to the Super Bowl and to the NFC Championship game. Now we know that he isn't a guy that's going to go out there and win you a bunch of games himself. Uh-huh. And sometimes he will be the hindrance to you, to your ability to win. But what he's also shown is when you have pieces in place for him, uh-huh, he's successful. And I think that this Washington offense has some pieces in place to help Jimmy Garoppolo be successful.
Right.
That's my opinion.
I like to go against the grain. Uh-huh. You should know. Willie, are you about to go? I just want to make sure I'm not jumping in front.
No. I said you, Ray.
Absolutely. Okay, my bad. So I like to go against the grain, like I said, because we watch these quote-unquote experts on TV, Melvin Kiper being one of them. And if you were to listen to Melvin Kiper, you would draft Kyle Melvin, Miller, or you would draft Blake Bortles. His name is Melvin. I'm not going to call him Mel because, like I said, his mom named him Melvin. I'm going to call him Melvin. And the thing is, he gets paid, I'm sure, a good salary. And often, I just feel like he's wrong. He talks about the big arm on this guy. He loves Zach Wilson. And this year, of course, the experts are saying that this is sort of a weak quarterback draft. So the top guy is Kenny Pickett. He's referred to as, or at least by CBSSports.com, as Joe Burrow-like, quote-unquote, because he has the ability to make quick throws. He's experienced, had a lot of starts in college. And while he's not the most athletic dude, he can elude sacks, which that's Joe Burrow. But with that being said, I don't see him as being a fit in Scott Turner's offense. As you know, Washington's looking for someone with a similar skill set to, let's say, Josh Allen, somebody who's tough, who can get on the move, who has a nice arm, who is fairly accurate. So here's the quarterback I'm most intrigued by, and that's Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, because he's athletic. He has an extremely quick release, which would be good for the Scott Turner offense. He's been referred to as, quote, Jalen Hurts with a stronger arm. And let's look at what Jalen Hurts has done to this division, including the Washington Commanders. I was about to say the Washington football team. And he's an inch shorter than Matt Corral. So if this boy had the arm in terms of like the deep ball, I would easily say he's Russell Wilson 2.0. However, just to note, y'all, when Russell Wilson led the Seahawks to back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, was he heavily relied upon? No, it was the Legion of Boom that was real at the time. So if Scott Turner can help this young boy corral and the defense can get right, this might be the guy that you select. Now, can he start right away? I actually think he could. If they're going to be some growing pains, of course. He didn't throw for a ton of yards in college. And if you look when he played against Alabama, he was 0-2. Although two seasons ago, he put up 48 on Bama. Bama just happened to put up 61 on that same day. So that wasn't necessarily his fault. And, of course, lastly, if you're not going to draft a guy in 11, I think Sam Howell from North Carolina, I think he'll be there in the second round if you choose to get a veteran like Marcus Mariota and then pass on drafting a quarterback in the first round. You could get Sam Howell because, again, he's somebody who can escape the pocket. He does have the ability to throw deep, which I know Scott Turner would like, and, of course, the thin plays. And then if you sit behind a Mariota or, of course, Trubisky for two seasons, he should be ready if he's coached up. Because Trubisky's the rumor right now that's who Washington is looking at. So that's kind of where I'm at. I would draft Corral if he's available, which he should be.
Yeah, I wouldn't draft a quarterback just because Ray mentioned who he mentioned as the offensive coordinator. I just feel like when you're putting a rookie into the hands of a guy that's unknown. You know what I mean? Like Will, you mentioned, even for instance, you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. He was in a good situation where he's had one of the best offensive minds in football in Kyle Shanahan, who has pretty much helped any quarterback he's had to become, you know, take their game to another level. So this is not Kyle Shanahan. This is an unknown. I'm not going to be as critical as I normally am on dude, but he's an unknown. And so I'm just not sure within the way this team is built. Like you mentioned, Will, this staff, this office, how they're constructed, if they're ready for a guy like Jim Garoppolo or even a rookie quarterback. You know what I mean? They need somebody that can create even when there's chaos. That can create when the play goes wrong. And that means with their arm, with their legs, it's like you don't have to dial up the perfect play for this quarterback to reach that type of level. In this draft, is there a quarterback with that capability? I don't think so. You know what I mean? I think you need to have I like Willis. I agree with you, Will T. I do like Willis. I like his upside. But again, say this offensive coordinator isn't the guy. Right now, he has to go with another coordinator. And I don't want to put that on a young dude. We saw what happened with Jason Campbell. So I'm like, all right, get a vet who can audible out of a bad play, who can kind of work with what he has, rather than a guy that you're going to have to put a lot on him. Because we've seen even here in the body of work that this coordinator likes to throw the football. He doesn't like to run the football. So he's going to put the ball into the quarterback's hands to make plays. He's done that a number of times, and we've seen it in terms of body of work. He does like throwing the football. So I'm not even sure if he is a rookie quarterback. Will he say, you know what, let's kind of ease him into it. Let's run the football. Let's run Antonio Gibson the bulk load of carries, give him the carries and kind of limit this quarterback's, you know, attempt at passing the football, and so he can ease his way into the system and ease his way into the NFL. I'm not sure if this coordinator will be able to do that with this dude, but he would be willing. But if you give him a quarterback who can air it out and do some special things with the football, I think, you know, he'll be the team will be better suited. And for real, I don't think Rivera has that much time to kind of wait on a young quarterback due to the fact what's happened to him. I mean, over the last two seasons, it's just winning seven games.
Now, I agree with you also, Wole. That last part specific, I agree with that last part.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you have to be cautious of if you are in the front office is, okay, how do we evaluate Ron Rivera and his long-term prospects with this organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to entrust with a top 11, you know, a highly graded 11th overall quarterback who, you know, who the front office has done the scouting on and believes this is the right guy for their organization? Do they think Ron Rivera will be around long term to be able to mold that, him and Scott Turner be able to be around long term to mold that quarterback? And if you don't think that, he's going to be around here long term, you want to, if you're the scouts in your front office, you want to ensure that you're picking the right guy and not just a guy that's right for Scott Turner and Ron Rivera's system, a guy who has high potential and high upside that could be the leader of your franchise for 10 to 15 years.
Totally agree. So on Twitter, my man at Mark Crew tweeted, trade back into round one and select Howe after drafting the final piece needed on that defense. So would you trade back?
The final piece on that defense? I think that defense needs a lot more than the final piece.
I think that defense needs a
based off of their play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a few pieces. There's a few pieces. I mean, you finished. They have some. Yeah, I agree with you, Wilty. They have some answers on defense. They need some players on defense in terms of the linebacker. They have to get the linebacker situation situated on that defense.
Gotta get the linebacker situation, the safety situation.
It depends. I feel like if they settle in on what they want to do, they can kind of. Because I thought McCain played all right towards the end of the season. And I think they played around with Cam Curl way too much in terms of having him out of position at the start of the season. You know what I mean? I felt like once they kind of settled things down, they moved Landon Collins to their hybrid linebacker position. I thought their defense played better. But that's more of egos and whatnot. So, A-Ray, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, based on what you described, I feel like Teddy Bridgewater is a good fit. I know people feel like he checks down a lot, but he's one that can audible out of plays. He's very experienced. He's eerily similar in terms of just his IQ to like a Peyton Manning. Of course, he's not as talented, but he's a very smart quarterback. So he's somebody that could be brought in. And a lot of people do like Teddy Bridgewater, although the receivers might get frustrated just based on the fact that he doesn't throw down the field as much as one would like. But remember this, Wole, this is on Twitter. You mentioned John Kime to start every freaking show. We're going to quote the brother today.
Yeah,
he posted what Ron Rivera said at the combine, which was, does anybody care what the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford last year? No. The point is, of course, if you get the right guy, the cost won't matter. That means they're trying to land somebody big. We know what Russell Wilson said. It's not going to be him. But I don't think right now, they necessarily, outside of Trubisky, they're looking for somebody who they feel like can turn this thing around next year, and they can make a deep playoff run. So they're looking to spend. So this draft pick is definitely up in the air. I don't know how you all feel about that. I'm not opposed to drafting or signing somebody. I just know, like everybody else does, that this team needs a quarterback.
I don't know who if Russ – I mean, I think Russ is playing coy, but I'm not even into, like – to me, like, I think who said it? Will on you or Ray said about when was Russ successful when they ran the football? Was that you, Will?
That was me.
That was you, Ray?
That was Ray.
So this is the thing. I mean, depending on what. I mean, I feel like I like Russ. I mean, I like Russ. I like Russ. But also, we're talking about when Russ was, you know, winning at a high clip, winning a Super Bowl, being in the Super Bowl. He wasn't the guy that you didn't put everything on Russ, right? It was like he was part of the team. He was the face of the team, but he was part of the team. Arguably Marshawn Lynch was the face of the team. But you bring him here, it's different. Like, I feel like, you know, Russ, there's a chance that Russ could fail here. I don't know why I think that. I kind of have that in my mindset. But because I feel like quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers would be way better, but, you know, a lot of folks think that because Russ is younger that he would be the better fit. But even all that, I think that the if you're going to trade your first round pick, that's the whole thought process. It's going to be for somebody who's elite, not somebody who's average.
Interesting take, because you're the only Commanders fan on the set. So your words are golden, my friend. Here's why. You've lived through a whole lot of these different, I actually call it the quarterback carousel, which we all have, of course, living in this area. But when you're rooting for the team specifically, it's difficult when you're not sure who's the guy or who's going to be the guy of the future. And that's the problem I have with depending on the veteran you get is how long can they realistically be the quarterback here versus if you draft somebody young, that could be your guy for the long term. I mean, obviously, Chase Young was mentioned in the possible trade scenario with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, I think the eyes are looking at this legal case for him.
Yeah.
If he gets cleared or he escapes without much punishment from the league and or the legal system, then I see him as the person you trade the house for, a la Matthew Stafford and the Rams head deal.
One quick question before we go to break for you, Ray. I want to follow up on that just statement you just said. You said dependent on the punishment from the league and the legal system. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say he's been absolved of all legal charges, but the league still suspends him for 6 games. Because we've seen this happen, right? Guys have been absolved legally, but the league is still sought punishment against them, right? Let's say he's suspended for 4 to 6 games. Do you think he's worth giving up this year's pick and 2 future first-round picks for?
Yes.
I agree. What about you, Wole?
Absolutely.
Say it again. Did you still make the trade? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I zoned out
again. Still in PA, huh? You're still in PA.
I'm still there, man. I'm still making a trade. I don't care. Look, man, you already know where I stand. I'll make the trade regardless. Okay. I'm pro Deshaun. I'll make the trade regardless. I don't even care.
All right. Well, when we come back from break, we'll discuss Patrick Ewing. The question is Patrick Ewing's time is the Hoyas coach up? We have Patrick Warren from the NBS Sports Hour podcast. He'll join the show to chat with us after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
And then,
Deuces.
On Ampire Media. AmpireMedia.com.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, right now we have Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast. What's good, Pat?
Yo, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We're doing good. I want to call you Project Pat. I'm in my 3-6 mode, so I just want to call you Project Pat.
That'll work.
Okay, Project Pat. What's good? What's going on, man?
How about PA Pat?
Hey, he's gonna say that.
you did a
push away. That's an inside joke, Pat. They going on me, Pat. Don't listen to them, man. They going on me.
All right.
Hey, so what's good? Well, how's the podcast going, my man?
It's going pretty good, man. We're just trying to keep on kind of moving through what we've been doing. We've had the normal part where we talk a little bit of everything. You know, main focus is on local sports, but we talk a little bit of everything, sports, movies, music, TV, culture. But we also added a Hoyas Weekly where we just focus strictly on Georgetown. So we just been trying to keep it going.
Hey, Patrick, this is Ray, and you and I, we follow each other on Twitter, bro. And I will admit, between you and Monica McNutt, y'all some ride or die. I understand why Monica is, but I got to give you credit for hanging in there during this tough time for the Hoyas. Their record being 6-22 and 0-17. It's like that chick that stays with the dude even when he in jail. And he walks out and she's waiting for him. Right now, Hoyas fans are in prison, bro. Why has it been such a tough season for the Hoyas, my man?
Yeah, well, for me, man, I'm local, and ever since I can remember, I had been seeing Georgetown stuff. So when I used to go to cookouts, at grandma's house, I always see the older cousins and uncles had Georgetown shirts. So that's kind of how it came about for me on that part, and I've just been riding since. As far as this season, like you said, man, I mean, it has been tough, obviously looking at the record, it's been tough, but, just like a lot of different situations, man, with games, just letting games get away, not being able to put together complete games. I will say in the beginning of the season, when we talked to coach, a lot of people didn't want to hear it. I've mentioned this before on our pod and talked to other people. A lot of people coach did caution. And wanted people to be patient with this season, coming off the Big East tournament, There was a lot of excitement, of course, with that run they did in March. But the guys lost some big guns, you know, and at, you know, off of that team. So coming back, returning this season, only having Don Carey and Dante Harris as far as guys that played a major role in last year, as far as court time, adding some new pieces, having some young guys, he wanted everybody to be patient. Now, I'm sure he didn't think 0-17 in conference, talking about this, you know, losing streak, but I think there were some things there that he kind of saw or anticipated, but it, you know, it just ended up being worse, I think, than anyone could have imagined.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're chatting with Patrick Warren from NBS Sports Hour podcast. Patrick, I have a question for you.
Yes,
so far in five seasons, Patrick Ewing is 68-81 as head coach of the Hoyas. He took his team to the NCAA tournament last year. Do you think that this will be his last year as the coach of the Georgetown Hoyas basketball team, men's basketball team?
Do I think so? I don't think so, man. I have a feeling that they may at least go another year and kind of see how things go. Of course, there's been all kinds of talk on social media, people's opinions, and different people have been writing either articles on radio. There's been a lot of talk that way, but I look at a couple things. One, we haven't heard anything from Lee Reed or President DeGioia. We haven't heard anything from them on that side. It was reported. It's been reported by multiple people, but Coach picked up a contract extension last year after the Big East tournament. Another thing I look at too, man, the guys haven't quit. I think it would be easy for people to kind of pack it in, looking at the record, looking at the way the games have been going, but just kind of watching body language, watching guys, watching effort. To me, this doesn't seem like a team that's quitting on their coach. Coach doesn't sound like a guy that's not going to come back. The players don't sound like they've given up on him. So, and he's also out still recruiting. You got guys still have Georgetown in their top, you know, everybody's doing their top 3, 5, 7, whatever. You're still hearing Georgetown's name in there. So I think when I combine all those things together, right now, sitting here, right here tonight, I think he'll be back. I think there'll probably have to be some changes on the coaching staff, and there's probably had to be some different things you're going to have to try to probably look at. But right now, I personally feel like he'll be back.
So what do you think? So, Pat. Go ahead, Will.
No, I had a follow-up question. You said you think that there may be some changes to the coaching staff. Let me ask you this. Juwan Howard has had a lot of success in Michigan because he has the former coach at St. Joe's, Phil.
Martelli.
Do you think that it could help steady or balance out Patrick Ewing's bench if he goes and gets a veteran former head coach to be his lead assistant as he starts to revamp that coaching staff and starts to think about next year?
I think so, man. I talked about a little bit about this with everything that's going on with all the buzz and talk about coach. I talked about a little bit on our pod, but you know, I've kind of stayed away from a lot of stuff on social because it's kind of crazy right now. There's a whole lot of comments and people are ready to jump off the ledge and, you know, people getting disrespectful, in my opinion. So there's been a lot of stuff out there. So I've really got into it on, you know, on that end. But yeah, it's an original question. I think there probably would have to be some changes on the coaching staff. I don't want to talk about nobody losing a job. I ain't trying to wish nothing ill on nobody. But when I kind of look at the coaching staff, I'm thinking that, you know, there probably will have to be some changes. There's one guy on there that stands out to me, local guy, Coach Crouch, Clinton Crouch. I think that's a guy that you need to hold on to. I think he brings a lot to the table right now. His official title is special assistant to the coach, but I mean, just as far as development, the rapport he has with the players, I think there's a lot of value there. So if I was like a guy sitting back and trying to think, you know, how do we fix this? How do we make some changes? Crouch is probably a guy I will hold on to. The rest of them, I think you're going to have to look at. And I think there are two things that stand out. I think definitely if you can get somebody that is a head coach caliber type play, type coach, I think that's good. But I think two areas I would look at, somebody that's going to be real big, major, as far as DMV recruiting. I think you want to look at that. And then I think you want to look at somebody that's going to help you defensively. So having someone that's kind of that being their specialty, I think those are two things that I would look for if I was trying to put some guys around Coach.
Hey, Pat, man, appreciate you being on, man. This has been dope. Before we let you go, how can folks catch your podcast and let our listeners know how they can reach you on social media, even though they kind of are beefing with you or whatnot, or you have issues on social media?
Hey, look, man, I ain't got no beef with nobody. I just read stuff, and I'm seeing a lot of different stuff.
No, it's negative, man. I know what you're saying. It's real negative. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. It is real negative.
Yeah. But, yeah, as far as following me personally, at Waring Patrick, W-A-R-I-N-G, Patrick. The pod is the NBS Sports Hour. That's at NBS Sports Hour.
Well, Pat, man, we appreciate you, my man. We'll try to get you back on again. Hopefully, I mean, I'm a big Patrick Ewing fan. I mean, that's one of my favorite Hoyas, but it's a struggle, man. I'm a big Hoyas fan, so it's hard, man. It's hard either way right now. It really is.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like you said, people just got to – I mean, we got to wait and see what's going to happen. I think, you know, everybody has to just kind of let it play out, let the season – two more games, and you got the Big East tournament. Uh-huh. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we definitely will. All right, well, Pat, you take it easy, my man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, thank you, Pat.
Appreciate you. All right. All right, time for the next segment. We're going to go to break. It looks like Gary Antoine Antoine Russell Jr. is ready for stardom. We'll talk about his latest fight after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More so than one, but tonight.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, put suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wreck your shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T, and we are part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com.
Wole, prior to the break, you teased that we were going to talk about Junior Welterweight Gary Antoine Russell and his TKO victory over Victor Posto in the 10th round this past Saturday night. Fellas, starting with you, Wole, what were your thoughts on the fight?
Oh, man, I thought Antoine still had a great showing. I think where I talked to you late last night about I caught it late. So I know you all were tweeting me over the weekend about the fight, and I caught it late. But I was so annoyed because I was in PA. But I was so annoyed. Al Bernstein. He started annoying me over the last couple of weeks about how he tends to talk about the Russells in the fights. Maybe I'm biased. I don't even know anymore. But it was ridiculous. I felt like he was trying to gas up Postol in the fight. with, you know, every punch was valued when he threw it. When Antoine threw his punches with damage and whatnot and combinations and quick hands, it wasn't talked about as much. But I thought he still had a good showing. This was his toughest fight. He dominated the fight in my card. When I did the card for my own card, I guess you could have gave Postol one round, but out of 10, I think he, if anything, it was a 9-1 type of affair, which is dominant. He stopped the fight, and you know, a lot of controversy over if the fight was prematurely stopped. This is my way of thinking. I don't have a problem with the stoppage. Dude had no chance to win. He hurt him in that last round. That last situation was like 50 seconds or 20 seconds. Truth be told, we talk about safety with boxers. He could have. What would be the cool thing of just not stop if they didn't stop it? To me, what's the problem of stopping it? The fight's over. He got hit. He got hurt. If say that he let the fight go on and then Antoine busts him up and gives dude a concussion, what are we saying now? Because dude didn't have a chance to win the fight. So I don't get the whole, oh, Antoine, it's a terrible stoppage. Like, it was the worst stoppage in the world. They made it seem like it was the end of the world of all stoppages. We've seen stoppages that are in the seventh, eighth round where it was ridiculous, right? Those are worse than having a stoppage with freaking 50 or 30 seconds of a fight. So I had no problem with the stoppage. It was a good showing. Good for Antoine.
I have a problem with the stoppage, and here's why. If you are a fighter and you have, now granted he hurt him, but I don't think it was a necessity for you to stop the fight. You've gone up, you had 30 seconds left. Let the fighter go out there and finish the fight and go out, as some people like to say, on his shield. Now, Wole, you bring up an interesting point. You know, he could have been severely hurt by Gary Antoine within those last 30, I think it was like 30 or 50. I forgot how long it was left in the fight. But give him the opportunity to go out there and to finish the fight, right? You put in the training, you made the sacrifice, you prepared yourself. Now you were down on the card and you were on the way to a unanimous decision loss. But in the mind of some fighters, they want to go out and they want to go out on their own and not have a stoppage, which especially a stoppage that some would deem not that good of a stop. Not a good decision to make that stoppage at that point in the fight. Yes.
Let me take the time just to remind the listeners to go to YouTube, search the Urban Sports Scene, subscribe, then watch our interview with Gary Antoine Russell. It wasn't the most viewed video we put out there so far, but it had 71 likes and 0 dislikes because everybody loves Gary Antoine Russell because he's an emerging star. And what's interesting about him and what I love about him is his consistency in his approach to boxing. I'm going to quote him in our interview, and I'll paraphrase a bit, because early in the interview, we asked him about what he was doing to prepare for fights. This was, of course, during the heart of the pandemic. And he said, quote, "It's the trainer's job to get me to understand what he wants me to understand and execute what he wants me to execute. I can do that, but I want to go above and beyond." And I think we saw that in this fight, right?
Yeah.
Where it seemed like he was listening to the corner, but he wanted to go above and beyond. And at times he made mistakes because he lunged forward in spite of the fact that the corner just told him, you know, keep going to the body, use your right hand. And again, he did these things. And of course, we saw how that impacted the outcome. We also talked to him about what would happen if you find yourself in like a dog fight or a slugfest. And what he said was, you know, with him being the one in the ring and it being only him in there, he said, I can only pretty much rely on myself. But I do revert back to my brothers and what my father teaches me and their coaching. And again, I feel like we saw exactly that this past weekend. He fought with pressure. He was the one that was applying so much pressure to Postol where he couldn't get comfortable. Postol wanted to use his length, he wanted to use his jab, and he never got established. So I feel like the consistency and also how seasoned he is at his age, he's going to continue to climb the ladder in the rankings of boxing in general, not just in his weight division.
Agreed. So who would y'all like to see him fight next?
You know, I didn't really take the time to really contemplate that. Geez, that's a great question. Ray, if you have somebody, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, well, they know my answer. It's because of, not directly after the fight, but soon after, you can go to Fight Hype and actually watch the interview. I'm sorry to plug somebody else, but it is what it is.
No,
on YouTube, you know, check them out too. I got love for everybody.
Yeah.
But what Antoine said was, Josh Taylor is somebody that is on his list. He said, pretty much whoever you put in front of me, I'm going to knock him down, which tells me it's probably not going to be Josh Taylor. However, since Josh Taylor didn't have a strong showing and he's a title holder.
Josh Taylor
and
lost.
Now with... No, he didn't. He won.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. He won. He did win. My bad.
Now Chris Colbert lost, which I think that hurts Al Heyman.
That's what I was thinking right. about. My bad.
But that still matters, though, Will, because Al Heyman invests a lot into Chris Colbert. That was his third time headlining a Showtime boxing event. Gary Antoine Russell is getting to the place where I think he's going to be a co-main event on a bigger fight card. Like the co-feature on a Colbert card is okay, but as you saw that arena in Vegas, it wasn't popping. But now with Gary Antoine Russell setting social media and YouTube ablaze with this performance, because remember, of course, we may not have mentioned this already, but it's a well-known fact that he's the only one to stop Postal, right? Or
yeah.
Postal, however you pronounce
Postal,
it.
Postal.
Terrence Crawford, of course, being the most decorated fighter that fought Postal, and Gary Antoine Russell was the only one, again, that was able to stop him. And like I said, that's the social media blaze. I think that now Al Heyman will invest a bit more into him and he'll get a bigger fight. Josh Taylor will be dope, although I feel like it's going to be another fight prior to that before he gets that step-up fight.
Yeah, I don't have a name per se who I want to see. I think Jose Ramirez would be a good step up in competition. We all know that Jose Ramirez was a guy who lost to Josh Taylor. Josh Taylor unified all the belts at 140. But, you know, of course you have the whole PBC top rank thing that's going on. That's probably, but will prevent that fight from happening. But I want to see him step up. I would love to see him step up in competition. A level of competition, you know, we he had this amazing win over Postal. So I don't know who I would over Victor Postal. I don't know who per se I would want to see him fight off the top of my head. But I do want to see him get a step up in competition. Maybe a guy like Regis
Progress. Yeah, that'd be good.
Progress. Yeah, I think that would be a good fight.
Wood got on IG, you know, Reginald Woodson, he has, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, Akhmadov.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
He said he fought Barrios. He said he beat Barrios.
Yeah. It's going to be a rematch, though, I think, right?
Barry. He said that would be a good target in the WBA ranking. That's what he said. A good target for the WBA rankings.
You know who else just moved up to 140?
Who?
Who? Teofimo. He moved up to 140. That'd be a huge step up in competition.
That's
a
huge
that might
step.
Not be the right move.
Not right now. I don't think Not right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you want to say, right? You wanted to add something, right?
No, that was it. That's all I wanted to add.
Nah, I just think that, I mean, but it was a good showing though, bro. I just feel like, you know, until we talked about, we wanted to see him take it to another level. And I just felt like for this fight, it definitely was, this fight showed that he's ready. You know what I mean? Like, and we said this, we said this in the beginning. I think all of us kind of agreed to it that, you know, he's the one. And shout out to Gary Russell Jr. too. I thought he did a great job as a trainer, as the corner man. I thought he was an amazing job in terms of what he, the stuff that he told his younger brother, the adjustments, you know, to go back to the right hand, it showed out, man. Like, one thing you can't judge, man, is just, you know, boxing knowledge, you know, the sweet science, right, Will T? You can't judge that. That man has
it. Sweet science. It's the family business for those guys.
Real talk,
right?
Man.
All of the brothers do it. It's the family business.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are born to do certain things, you know, like you're born into that family. You're one of those brothers. Born to be a boxer.
Facts, man. And I don't like Jim Gray. I don't like Jim Gray's questions either, man. You know, we talk. Look, man, just ask smart questions, dude. Don't ask the dumbass questions. Just ask the smart, real questions, dude. Like, how do you? I'm glad Antoine came with him that smoke. Supposed to ask, you supposed to like. Which how would you? How would you? How would you feel if your father had his foot amputated? Why would you ask that dumbass question?
Yeah, that's one of the things that really concerns me about. No, I mean, just it concerns me about people in the media in general, right? Yeah. But I understand you have a job to do, and often that job is very transactional, right?
Yeah.
I need to get information for the public from this athlete.
Or get bites.
But have some humanity. Yeah, or get a sound bite,
yeah.
Or go viral,
yeah.
Or go viral, right? That's ultimately what most people want, you know, to go viral. That's not what I want. I don't care about that stuff. But have some sense of humanity and formulate a sensible question after a guy just comes off a very emotional fight. He's put in 8 to 12 weeks to prepare for the fight, if not longer, and you ask that type of question. It's just, you know, Jim Gray, you're better than that.
Yeah, man.
That's all I'll say.
Just trash, man. Hey, on Facebook, David Hickey posted, should put him in the top 10 junior welterweights. He's PBC. There's not many PBC fighters in the top 10. It's kind of
yeah, I mean, he is in the top 10,
right?
Of all of the official of all of the official rankings.
Yeah, I thought so.
To my understanding.
I thought so too. But man, big ups to Antoine, man. All right, Browse ain't coming to Grambling. We'll talk about this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces. On Empire Media. EmpireMedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. Got young one. Chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats. Full surface. Come on.
Party in the hood, I might just start. Underground, downtown, I might just start. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock it. He ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit him with a chest at, kill him with a neck at. Show me where the rest at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it, you and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call, get the kids out the house. Ain't tryna kill no kid, but I'ma turn it lights out.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole.
Wole?
Yes, you heard me. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just heard Wole. I didn't hear Wole.
I'm sorry, my fault, man. You know, I try to slow it down to give you time to get situated. That's all.
It's PA.
PA, that's all we're going to say. I was in PA. That's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing.
PA all day.
PA all day. I'm still there, bro. It was lovely. Lovely.
Yep. Mentally, you're still there.
I'm still there.
Yep. All right, so we're going to discuss Art Browse firing from Grambling State. But before we get into that, on February 25th, after Hugh Jackson made the decision to hire Art Browse, a statement was released through the Hugh Jackson Foundation. That statement goes, the recent hiring of Art Browse as a member of the Grambling State University football staff has caused confusion and concerns that we would like to address. The Hugh Jackson Foundation has dedicated to fighting against all forms of sexual abuse and exploitation, as well as other forms of racial and social bias. We have a clear understanding of the role that coaches and others who have a position of trust play in the lives of those they meet. We also know and understand the process of identifying risk, helping others to heal, and the importance of prevention. We believe that through the hiring of Art Browse and the well-developed programs we have in place, this hire will be instrumental in teaching others the importance of knowing how to prevent victimization, proper reporting procedures, provide adequate resources to individuals who have been victimized, and develop strong law enforcement partnership within the community. This recent hire of Coach Browse is a testament to the importance of these key factors: forgiveness. We believe that all are deserving of forgiveness, and without it, healing can't begin. Redemption. Redemption follows forgiveness. Going from surviving an experience into thriving through new experiences require a restoration of faith and an opportunity for improvement. Enlightenment. It is our own experiences that give us the wisdom to teach others how to live in a world of respect and honor. As we move forward together with Coach Browse, we ask that people keep in mind that no matter your views on this topic, please remember that people can and often do become re-traumatized and re-victimized by statements which may or may not be accurate. We will continue to support Coach Browse and all victims of assault, violence, social and racial injustice, and we will continue to provide equal opportunities for healing for everyone. That was the statement released by the Hugh Jackson Foundation. And I keep emphasizing the Hugh Jackson Foundation because it's interesting to me that Coach Browse was hired by Grambling State to be on Hugh Jackson's staff. Now, Hugh Jackson and his foundation, they come out and they make this statement. So this lets me know, or puts pause to a couple of things. One, was Grambling State's administration, trustees, alumni and boosters on board with the Art Browse hiring from the first place? That's one of the things that kind of struck me with this statement coming out from this foundation. The second thing is, if you're Hugh Jackson, why is it that you think that it's okay that we're kind of at this crossroads in society, right? Where, you know, people are very sensitive to, you know, matters when it comes to rape or the accusation of rape. Would it be okay for you to bring him on board to your campus? And why is it that Art Browse is, you know, I don't want to say for lack of a better words, but why is it that the only place that Art Browse can find employment at is at a historically black college? And why would Hugh Jackson think that's okay?
I'm all about, it's crazy, it's wild. So, you know, I'm like over cancel culture in general, and we talk about redemption.
No, forgiveness. I am too.
All right, we all about forgiveness. Too. So this, my issue is about the kids. That's who I care about in these, you know, these athletic schools. You know, Grambling's trying to build their football program, and to me, we're looking at a guy that, and I see your point, Will T, but we're looking at a guy that is a genius in terms of what he as he coaches offense, right? I mean, he's well respected as an offensive mind. These kids would benefit as football players, and in terms of their futures of having that guy coach them. And I'm just like, that's where I was looking at it. That's how I'm looking at it. Like, you have an opportunity to have one of the best college offensive minds coach a program that probably wouldn't be able to get this type of dude. You know what I'm saying? And not to say there's not minorities that can do it. And I'm not saying that, but this is a known commodity right here that has had guys, first round picks who've had stellar rookie seasons, right? Has an opportunity to coach your quarterback, your wide receivers, and name the wide receivers that came out of Baylor that he's coached and helped make a bunch of money in the NFL. You have an opportunity to have that guy coach your kids. I look at this situation for our kids in terms of playing at the next level and making a boatload of money. That's how I look at it.
All right, Ray, I'll let you go.
There's a lot that you said there, and I'll say this. When the news first broke that Art Browse was hired at Grambling, my phone erupted.
Mm-hmm.
So Wole hit me up.
And you said two words, dope hire.
Yeah.
My man Ransom Miller that we had on the show last week, he hit me up. And then, of course, I saw all the noise around Doug Williams, who,
yes.
Will, you asked the question, who was on board for, with the hire. Apparently, there was a lot of back and forth,
yeah.
And there was a lot of disagreement as to whether they should bring him on. And Doug Williams said no.
Yeah.
And then, of course, social media attacked Doug Williams. Like, dude, you had the Washington Commander football team, whatever you want to call it. That culture is Baylor times 80. You know what I'm saying? Like, shut up. You know, we don't want to hear from you. However, what I was told was, that wasn't Doug Williams' issue. He was saying there's more black coaches that could use this position at a historically black college.
Yeah.
And that's where, I'm not going to lie, I was torn. Like, okay, I can see where he's coming from on that point. But I was okay with the hire. And in terms of the cancel culture, because you guys both referenced it, the cancel culture picks and chooses who they want to forgive.
Yes.
When Kobe Bryant had his situation, eventually they forgave him. And this has nothing to do with race, because Ben Roethlisberger was on college campuses doing some wild stuff from what we understand. You know, the bathroom door to the club was locked and he was in there with females. And of course, he's a grown man in the league at the time. But of course, people look past that or they move past it eventually. However, when it doesn't fit their narrative, then of course, they're going to complain and they're going to get as many people to scream as possible. And that's what happened, unfortunately. And I agree with Role that this would have been a very good opportunity for these young people. And also, I think it would continue to elevate HBCU yes. football, which is what we're all about on this show. Deion Sanders, Art Browse, the Tyrone
Jackson,
Wheatley, the big names coming to hate
yeah,
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
The names and the football minds, they're coming. And not just football, basketball. Reggie Theus is at Bethune-Cookman. It's happening, y'all. Like, why do we want to impede progress because of somebody's past and or because of somebody's skin color? It's ridiculous. It's so hypocritical in my eyes.
So I'll say this, and in no way am I advocating for Art Browse, right? I read the report, and some of the things he did were egregious and, quite frankly, disgusting. But I will say this. What makes us as the general public, and when I say us, I mean people who are sports fans, I'll go as far as bloggers, sports reporters, commentators, people who just have opinions. What makes us the moral arbitrators of who should and who shouldn't be canceled or who should or who shouldn't get a second opportunity? Ray, you made an interesting point. You know, if it fits the narrative, then people are all with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doug Williams came out and he made his statement that, you know, he thought this wasn't the best hire for Grambling. Then, you know, like you said, Ray, someone mentioned, oh, you work for the Washington Commanders. That's like the pot calling the kettle black,
yep.
Right?
True.
So, so it's no way am I advocating for Art Browse in general or any. You know, I'm pretty. I really don't have an opinion on the subject.
Yeah.
But you know, this is. I thought this would be an interesting subject for us to have a conversation about. So I'm just kind of getting my thoughts out there. But what do you say about, I'll take the other side of the argument, right? The guy, you know, when you're trying to raise young men, and you're trying to teach them boundaries, respect, protocol, things of that nature, how can you have a football coach who will be very impressionable and be spend more time on a day-to-day basis with those young men, have him kind of oversee or be a part of overseeing them, you know, for all year round. And he lacks that morality. And he's shown in the past that he lacks that morality to do the right thing. How can you have that type of person being a leader of young men?
Can I take that?
Well, that's where go ahead.
No, this is what, I mean, this is the thing, like, because I hear this about society. And this is one thing I will say. Like, so it only impacts you when it's not yours. And what I mean by that is if it's your uncle, if it's your mother, if it's your brother, you wouldn't have that same, people wouldn't have that same opinion. The outside noise wouldn't have that same opinion. What would they say? Forgive that individual. They've shown that they warrant forgiveness. They've tried to prove that they've tried to grant forgiveness. Now, when you're the outside individual, typically you don't believe that, and it's claimed in society that, you know, we should always forgive the next person. We got to give them an opportunity to prove themselves, right? My comment to that for those people is like, give this individual an opportunity to prove that, you know what, I messed up, but I'm trying to show you that I'm a better person. Because you can't show somebody that you improved if you don't give them the opportunity.
That's true. That's very true. Well, like I said, I'm not advocating for him or against him. I think it's an interesting conversation and it's a conversation that should be had, opposed to people just can't just canceling him and not giving him another opportunity.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you're Art Briles, you may not get another head coaching job. You'll have to go through. Well, I'll say this. He can get another coaching job, but it's going to have to be a coach that has the cachet and the power and the respect within his, whether it's a professional organization or on their college campus, to bring him onto their staff. He'll have to go through the, he'll most likely have to go through the Nick Saban or Bill Belichick coaching redemption program, where you go and work for one of those guys, and then a year or two, everyone sees and say, oh, he worked for Saban, he worked for Belichick, now, so everything must be right with him.
The narrative changes. Then the narrative just changes. Like to Ray
Lloyd. the narrative, like you said, Ray, then the narrative changes, right?
It's crazy,
right.
Man.
Well, that's what it is. Now, I will say this, out of respect to those who were impacted by that time period, that era, when Art Briles was overseeing the Baylor program, I totally get if you don't want him to have another job. And I will not at all argue that. My stance is not based on that, because I could totally relate if that was my relative in that situation.
Yes.
By the way, DJ Durkin has a job, and part of the culture he created at Maryland, it led to somebody dying, man. And of course, do you think that those who were impacted by the death of that player, do you think that they wanted him to be hired? Well, of course not. Do I want to see George Zimmerman working out here somewhere after he shot Trayvon Martin? Would I want to see him as a security guard somewhere? Hell no. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not disagreeing. I'm just talking about what we just said in terms of narratives. I'm also going to say this. I'm going to take Hugh Jackson at his word. I'm going to take him at face value and say that they fully vetted homeboy. I will also applaud Baylor, who actually acted, as opposed to other universities like Penn State, for example, that never punished Paterno or Sandusky. It's been addressed, and I'm pretty sure that homeboy learned some form of a lesson.
Yes.
And as a result, like many, we may not always like it. I'm addressing some things I wouldn't like to see, but people are going to receive a second chance. And it's crazy again how we have these double standards. But go ahead, Will. My bad.
Let me ask you this.
I
love the point that you're making, Ray. But do you think he? Let me ask you this in a hypothetical.
Sure.
And because of the pulse of society now, and how we love people who we not love, we love, but we want to see people grovel and ask for forgiveness. Do you think if Art Briles went on a forgiveness tour, per se, he went and spoke to certain media outlets, certain individuals, and he went out and he basically admitted to his wrong, was contrite and asked for people's forgiveness, do you think he would still be in the same position he's in now?
It's hard to say.
Some of the stink will come off of him, and people will be more receptive.
It's hard to say because you're not going to please everybody, and there's always going to be that group. There's still dog or animal rights groups that protest Michael Vick being on TV. That protested when he played in the league, man. You can, and that man has done so much to try to reconcile.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying, with the animal community, with the animal rights community. He's done a lot. He's donated. He served community hours that were not obligated by the court. You know what I'm saying? Ray Rice, for example, I mean, that's what he does. Him and his wife, they go speaking about domestic violence. He still couldn't get back into the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're never going to please the majority, but somebody sees that, and this is being Hugh Jackson, somebody saw that this man is still out there, talented. The funny thing is, the cancel culture just wants people to go away. Art Briles went away. He was gone for all the time. And then he reemerges, and that's not good enough. So you're never going to please everyone. I personally, from this seat I'm sitting here, would have said, give him a chance. and, you know, closely monitor the situation. Yeah.
I do agree with you, Ray. I think it was some. I think the skin tone with what Doug Williams was talking about. I think that was like one of the main things. Like, give it to somebody that's, you know, somebody black. I think that played a lot into it too.
I hated that.
Yeah, me too. I hated that too. But I know that's what it is. Because to me, it's so much, bro. We talk about, like, we've been doing this thing about trying to, we want to see HBCU sports teams do well. And you have, this is a, to me, just, it's not at the level of having a Deion Sanders at Jackson State, because Deion's good, it's awesome for the culture, right? It's Deion. He's awesome for the culture. But this is truth be told, this is an awesome ass thing to have, like, this type of offensive mind come to Grambling State. It's almost like, say, if a Steve Spurrier came to, like, Howard or something like that, in terms of that type of offensive mind in college. Like, you have an opportunity if Grambling State plays like a big time school, they have now the belief factor to say, you know what, we got the coaching to do damage against some of these big schools that, you know, that think we're going to be this cupcake team. Like, I just feel like this is a situation where it could have helped out. One, probably brought the school some money, because you win football games and college football is a big business. And it brings Grambling State back to the forefront. I just have so many issues with it, to be honest with you.
I guess that's one of the issues I have, that it is business, right?
Yeah.
And this is a business move for Hugh Jackson. It's a business move for Art Briles. This is both of those guys saying, this is my first step to redemption, to getting back to where I was.
Facts.
Where that's Hugh Jackson, that might be another opportunity in the NFL as a coordinator or a head coach. And mm-hmm. Art Briles, that may be another opportunity to be the head football coach at a major D1 college.
True.
And that's what makes it, and that's one of the things that tanks it and makes it ugly.
Yeah,
because it seemed as if this was just another stepping stone for both of those gentlemen.
Yeah, I think Doug Williams messed up the church's money. I'm sorry, I'll say it. It is what it is. I'm a Washington whatever fan, Commanders, whatever you want to call them. And bro, like, I just feel like he messed up the church's money with this one. I just feel like, you know what, this is your alma mater. I get it. Like, You coach there. You have so many ties. But if you just look at the grander picture, the bigger picture, what this could have did for your school and your program and for those kids, I think that's, look at it for those kids and what their futures could be and what recruiting could be. Man, I think you were looking at it in a whole different route. If you looked at it one way, this could have been huge for the program. And again, not even for those kids. Like, it could have been huge for those kids. I'm on Twitter. The Yard HBCU Sports tweeted, my non-political answer, beating Arkansas State and or Jackson State would have put a halt to the distraction talk. So if he beat a Jackson State, there would be no distraction.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it all depends on who the head coach is and the cachet that they have,
mm-hmm.
right, to be able to take the stink off of it. In the media, in the news cycle.
Yeah. My man Clarence Rack said, you would never have to stop answering questions about whether you value the lives of the of the women or your campus community. That will never be a good thing. I mean, you win. If you win games, I'll just say that. If you win games, certain things change.
Nah,
but go ahead.
I mean, let's be clear about a couple things. Art Briles himself didn't rape any women.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for you to say he would have some way of influencing, right, rape on that campus, I think is kind of an asinine statement in itself. But it would also show if you know that's not the most, you aren't necessarily being sensitive to what those victims endure.
Definitely. All right, time to shut the show down. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, on IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, ampiremedia@ampiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire Media shows as well as other great content. Hey, man, this has been a dope show, dope segment, dope conversations, dope guests, and my man Pat. Anyway, you've been listening to the urban sports scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.